"Lunch!" said Mrs. Weasley's voice. She was holding her wand high in front of her, balancing a huge tray loaded with sandwiches and cake on its tip. She was very red in the face and still looked angry. The others moved over to her, eager for some food, but Harry remained with Sirius, who had bent closer to the tapestry.
"I haven't looked at this for years. There's Phineas Nigellus, my great-great-grandfather, see?
Least popular headmaster Hogwarts ever had. And Araminta Mellifluer, cousin of my mother's, tried to force through a ministry bill to make muggle hunting legal. And dear Aunt Elladora, she started the family tradition of beheading house elves when they got too old to carry tea trays. Of course, any time the family produced someone halfway decent, they were disowned. I see Tonks isn't on here. Maybe that's why Creature won't take orders from her. He's supposed to do whatever anyone in the family asks him."
"You and Tonks are related?" Harry asked, surprised.
"Oh, yeah. Her mother, Andromeda, was my favourite cousin," said Sirius, examining the tapestry closely. "No, Andromeda's not on here either. Look."
He pointed to another small round burn mark between two names, Bellatrix and Narcissa.
"Andromeda's sisters are still here because they made lovely, respectable, pure-blood marriages. But Andromeda married a muggle-born, Ted Tonks, so..."
Sirius mimed blasting the tapestry with a wand and laughed sourly. Harry, however, did not laugh. He was too busy staring at the names to the right of Andromeda's burn mark. A double line of gold embroidery linked Narcissa Black with Lucius Malfoy, and a single vertical gold line from their names led to the name Draco.
"You're related to the Malfoys?" "The pure-blood families are all interrelated," said Sirius. "If you're only going to let your sons and daughter marry pure-bloods, your choice is very limited. There are hardly any of us left. Molly and I are cousins by marriage, and Arthur's something like my second cousin once removed. But there's no point looking for them on here. If ever a family was a bunch of blood traitors, it's the Weasleys."
But Harry was now looking at the name to the left of Andromeda's burn, Bellatrix Black, which was connected by a double line to Rodolphus Lestrange.
"Lestrange?" Harry said aloud.
The name had stirred something in his memory. He knew it from somewhere, but for a moment he couldn't think where, though it gave him an odd creeping sensation in the pit of his stomach.
"There in Azkaban," said Sirius shortly.
Harry looked at him curiously.
"Bellatrix and her husband Rodolphus came in with Barty Crouch, Jr.," said Sirius in the same brusque voice. "Rodolphus's brother, Robustin, was with them too."
And Harry remembered. He had seen Bellatrix Lestrange inside Dumbledore's pensive, the strange device in which thoughts and memories could be stored. A tall, dark woman with heavy-lidded eyes, who had stood at her trial and proclaimed her continuing allegiance to Lord Voldemort, her pride that she had tried to find him after his downfall, and her conviction that she would one day be rewarded for her loyalty.
"You never said she was your..." "Does it matter if she's my cousin?" snapped Sirius. "As far as I'm concerned, they're not my family. She's certainly not my family. I haven't seen her since I was your age, unless you count a glimpse of her coming into Azkaban. Do you think I'm proud of having relatives like her?"
"Sorry," said Harry quickly. "I didn't mean, I was just surprised, that's all."
"It doesn't matter, don't apologize,"
Sirius mumbled at once. He turned away from the tapestry, his hands deep in his pockets.
"I don't like being back here,"
he said, staring across the drawing room.
"I never thought I'd be stuck in this house again."
Harry understood completely. He knew how he would feel if forced, when he was grown up and thought he was free of the place forever, to return and live at number 4 Privet Drive.
"It's ideal for headquarters, of course,"
Sirius said.
"My father put every security measure known to wizard kind on it when he lived here. It's unplottable, so muggles could never come and call, as if they'd have wanted to. And now Dumbledore's added his protection, you'd be hard put to find a safer house anywhere. Dumbledore's secret keeper for the Order, you know. Nobody can find headquarters unless he tells them personally where it is. That note Moody showed you last night, that was from Dumbledore."
Sirius gave a short, bark-like laugh.
If my parents could see the use it was being put to now. Well, my mother's portrait should give you some idea.
He scowled for a moment, then sighed.
I wouldn't mind if I could just get out occasionally and do something useful. I've asked Dumbledore whether I can escort you to your hearing. A Snuffles, obviously, so I can give you a bit of moral support. What do you think?